You got to get in line, girl. Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. As I mentioned, at 9 a.m., the World Cup draw, West Coast time, is going to begin, and it's going to be a really big show. And afterwards, if you're in the Bay, you need to turn to Fox Channel 2, because our next guest will be doing an analysis on it. We're going to talk to him right now, and it is the former Men's National Team World Cup veteran and Bay Area native, Christopher Sullivan. And welcome back, Christopher. And as always, I like to point out that the cool people were born in 1965, right?
There you go. And that intro, that might be the best. That beats Pharrell with, you know, how can I be the man when you're the man to hear Tittle, you're hella fine. That is maybe the best that I've heard. That is phenomenal. Great to be with you.
It's funny because the 94 World Cup, which I worked at, I remember I was working with Pharrell at the time, and I let him wear my denim jersey, and he's like, you're the one, you're the man, you're the one, you're the man, you're the one, you're the man. Yeah. So I know what you're talking about. All right, Christopher.
Good to be with you.
I remember, the draw in December of 93 in Vegas, and it was, João Havelange was the president, Sepp Blatter was the vice president. Right. He was up on stage with Robin Williams and
Robin Williams.
Faye Dunaway, and he said, Mr. Blatter, are you full? And grabbed his crotch. It's a little bit different this time. You have celebs, you have musical acts, you have a peace award. Trump's going to be there, and he's going to say probably, this is all because of me. Everyone's talking about how this is all because of me.
Right.
Whatever. So this is going to be like something we've never seen with all the extra teams, right?
Yeah, I've covered the last five consecutive World Cups, which I think it started in 2006 in Germany. I was with Andres Tanto in Football de Primera for 40 days there. And then 2010, I was already entrenched as the lead analyst at Fox. 2014 with Yahoo in Brazil, which was incredible. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is the uniqueness of the terrain of the countries and the size is going to play a part. And when you think of how the path of teams, you know, progressing through the tournament. And then obviously 2018 in Russia, you know, I was with Bein Sport in Qatar, and in Qatar, actually in Doha, which I think is a one in a million situation we'll never see again, where if you think about it in the Bay Area, it's like having the World Cup played between where you are in San Francisco and say maybe not Los Gatos, say Los Altos, right? And so Lionel Messi and Julian Alvarez and Scaloni, the coach, they play the match at Lusail, and they come back to their hotel five miles away. They can put their legs up in the bed, sleep, eat, get up the next morning, do recovery. Whereas when you were in Brazil, you might be in Sao Paulo or Rio, and then you have to go to a different part of the world, like Manaus in the Amazon, right? And I was doing all that with Melanie Collins, you know, who covers at CBS. And just to travel as a commentator, right, and an analyst, you could feel the toll of what the travel would take upon you. But imagine in the United States now, it's the first time ever that it's going to be hosted by Mexico, Canada, and USA, 16 host cities. The travel, Guadalajara, Monterrey, I think Mexico City, and then you have the two Canadian cities, and then the other 11 here in the U.S. So the travel, many of these players, I think most of them, elite players around the world, have been in the past summers with International Champions League competition, whether it's Man City, Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, all the big teams, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, all those players that have played there are familiar with playing in the United States. And the weather will play a factor as well. But getting back to your point, I think the big news for me today that I saw, Rick, was that Thierry Henry was added to the Fox broadcast. He's very good at what he does. He'll legitimize the coverage for Fox and Rebecca Lowe as well as a presenter. So I think that will be huge.
If you can get Thierry to smile, I'll give you $1 million. I mean, he's you're right. I mean, what a great player. He's very much nuts and bolts. Like, not a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
Rebecca Lowe is good.
That's why with Paramount that they put Mike in there and Jamie Carragher and so forth.
But
and Kate Abdo's really good as well. But I think that will last last summer or the summer before, Peter Schmeichel, my friends from around the world that I work with and that I interact with, they'll call, and it's super funny because I'm in NorCal, and they'll say, hey, I'm going to be in L.A., I'm doing the Clásico, let's say Patrick Kluivert with Barcelona. Mm. And I was thinking we can have a coffee and a dinner, I'd love to see you. And they don't know it's a five-hour drive, I just say, I'll be there. And Peter Schmeichel did when he was doing the Euros as well for Fox. So they'll start, they're starting, those two names there are massive. And I think that the last World Cup that Fox covered, you know, I was at Fox about 13 years or so as their lead. And they covered, I think they need to find the right balance of the presenters and people who could bring this in at a real high level. And Thierry Henry is a World Cup winner. I'm sure they're going to bring some other big names as well. And then you have the Spanish side. So, and I'm sure you and I will be talking all the time throughout the tournament as well.
Certainly hope so, yeah. I mean, you mentioned Andres Cantor. The last time I had him on, I was going over some of my favorite calls, and I said I love the Tomas Hassler goal at Sweden 92, and he said, yeah. He goes, my friend, you have a better memory than I do. I don't remember. Yeah, you don't remember that? And I think, well, he's called a million goals. How can he remember all of them, right?
Yeah, this Tomas Hassler, the image that conjures up, that, I mean, very few announcers or radio announcers that I've come across in my 25-plus years in broadcasting would even talk about Tomas Hassler. And for me, he was just phenomenal. He's one of those players that if you had a young child that you're coaching and you say, watch Frank Ribery with Bayern Munich here when he was mm-hmm. with the French national team, or watch Thomas Hassler in 92-93 and when Hassler played with Robbie Baggio and Juventus as well. So that's some good knowledge right there. I love when you bring up those names.
Well, I am the soccer nerd, and I wrote for European Soccer Weekly. It is my favorite sport by far. I would say, and this is very mean, but I'm going to say it anyway, just don't go to Frank Ribery's dentist.
Yeah, that's a, you know,
that's mean.
Malone. Yeah, that's all right. You know, he's all love. You know, he's all love. He went, I think he had a real bad accident when he was a kid. I think his
back. Now I feel right. Now I feel like a jerk.
I'm not trying to bring you down now.
I will say, you're going to stick around another segment, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but before we go to the break, I saw some people tweeting that they're already there, and one of them was our old friend Marcelo Balboa, and he still got the mullet. And I think a lot of people don't know, he almost scored one of the greatest goals in World Cup history. He had a bicycle kick that flashed by the near post, and that would have been top 10 goal in the history of soccer.
Yeah, you know, he's my former teammate, and it's funny, I was talking to a coach mine the other day that where I'm at a club where I'm coaching, and I said I actually was really good with Chilena, you know, the bicycle kick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the few national team players to score an overhead bicycle. It was similar. It was closer in, and it was against Bermuda. We won 1-0 before the World Cup. And it was somewhere on VHS. But Pat Ramos crossed it, and I hit it off his cross, and it was pretty amazing. And then Marcelo did that in 94, which was much nicer. But Marcelo and I in 89 played in France against Bernard Lama, the goalkeeper from France. And we played a game against Leipzig, and the ground had a little light frost. And Hugo Perez played a ball to John Doyle, and he reverse-headed it. And I did from the same position that Marcelo was at, and it went just over the corner, similar. The one that he did against Colombia was one of the best that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a great guy, and he's still commentating. He does a lot on Spanish work. And we come across each other when we're going to qualifying games and we're working in these tournaments.
You know, I stayed in Le Touquet Paris Plage once, and that's where you were, right? You have a team. I mean,
right.
you played everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Le Touquet, Pas-de-Calais region, right near the English Channel there.
Yeah.
That's some good knowledge. So, I mean, I know that we want to talk about, you know, 48 teams, and you have 12 groups of four. Two will go through, and then the eight third-place teams will go through, and you'll have a round of 32. So I think that's going to be exciting. You still have the repechaje, you know, like the playoffs of the teams, and some good quality teams. Italy on the outside, it would be their third consecutive World Cup to miss, which is just, You can't fathom that. On the other side, when you look at Norway playing Italia or Italy, Norway was unbeaten in 8 matches. They averaged 4.5 goals a game. And if you remember, because you were working 94 World Cup, Sweden with Thomas Ravelli and Martin Dahlin and Kenneth Anderson and those great players, I think that Norway could be a dark horse out of the gate. You know, I mean, it's hard to call them a dark horse, but you'd hope for the U.S. if they just don't get a team like Norway. No one really wants to get Norway in spot 3.
No doubt. They got arguably the best striker in the world. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back with Christopher Sullivan talking World Cup draw. Come on back on Titillating Sports.
Picked on by Woodgate, who's playing further and further forward. Huddleston, Modric, there to be hit. Deflection, hit the post, Lennon, 4-4! Unbelievable!
That's what I had been saying. What had happened was Rick Tittle was just trying to keep it real and stay sucker-free.
All right, thanks for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. Very nice of Christopher Sullivan to give us another segment of his time. We're here to talk about the World Cup draw. And remember, he will be on Fox Channel 2 locally here in the Bay Area after the draw tomorrow for analysis on television. Christopher, I wanted to ask you about the 90 team that you were on, Italia 90, and about Bob Gansler, because I remember everyone was a little bit shocked when Hugo Perez was left off the team, and you know, it was great when Bora came in and he got those guys that weren't born here, like Winalda and, you know, Dooley, even like a Gene Harbor like that. What was, because the saying was, even though I think he was originally born in Holland, Bob Gansler just wanted college guys and he didn't want people with passports who could sneak their way on. Is that fair to him or not?
No, that's not true at all. Gansler was German-Hungarian.
Okay.
And I think he thought outside of the box. I would say that he was very loyal to the guys that helped in the qualifying, but Hugo Perez was in the qualifying.
Right.
And Hugo and I had played together. Last we played together was versus Brazil in 92. We had a great chemistry together, and he's, in my eyes, one of the best players that played with the U.S. team along with Tab Ramos. But, you know, in that team, you had Tab Ramos. Winalda played in 90. He was young. So Gansler took a young Winalda that some coaches wouldn't. And even though you could see the talent as a young player with Eric, you had John Harkes, who was breaking into England. The only 3 players that were playing in Europe in the first divisions was Harkes. Well, Harkes wasn't even there yet. I think he was just starting to break. He broke after. It was Peter Vermes and myself. The Vermes was the captain. He was wearing number. He was one of the captains with Windischmann. So those players, Vermes didn't make 94. I had a life situation in 94. It was actually my best. You know, I was playing in Europe at that time. It was probably the best football I was playing, but I had a death in my family and an injury right before the World Cup in 94 and got back in 98. But Hugo Perez came back in 94. I don't think that it was just Bora. Gansler would have taken Hugo because he had him in all those qualifying games. The other players that I would add to that is Frankie Kloppas, who came in 94, Roy Wagerle. Mm-hmm. And these were players, they were my kind of players. They were players that were a little more elegant and exquisite and had more flair to their game and the kind of players you love to watch and play with, you know, and represent your country. I don't want to say a golden generation, but it was a generation of, you know, real quality on a technical level. And obviously the game has changed because it's so much more compact now that you see less those kind of players getting the opportunity to play in today's games with the physical demands. I mean, you think Riyad Mahrez, that Guardiola had a team that was good enough that he could have him play with Manchester City, but you don't see, those are atypical players that are showing up in big clubs around the world today.
Yeah, Wagerle was a bag of tricks.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Eric Winalda, and he's been on the show many times. In fact, I tried to help him when he was running for president of the Federation, and both of us were too naive to realize they were just going to bring in another suit after Sunil Gulati.
Yeah. But
that game against, at the time, Czechoslovakia in Italy, and he was on a yellow, and he didn't mind his P's and Q's, and he got sent off, and it was just such a terrible start to the Cup, and it's not like we're going to be, but we went 40 years. I mean, I had to root for West Germany and England and Denmark, like my heritage.
Yeah.
Because for 40 years, we missed out, and thankfully, Caligiuri hit that shot heard around the world. But I believe, now, again, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a long time ago, but were you one of the guys that was saying to Winalda, hey, man, what are you doing? Like instead of just like, I think Gansler was like, forget it, we can't do anything about it. But it's like, what are you being such a hot? I remember the Gazzetta dello Sport said, we don't even know how good Czechoslovakia is because they played a church team. And I was like, oh, man, they're calling us.
Well, I think, first of all, it's not a good bar. You know, when you look at any country that hasn't played for a while, like I think Haiti that qualified, which is a great story. They didn't even play any of their home games in Haiti. The coach didn't even go in the country of Haiti. They were playing all their games in Curaçao. Mm-hmm. Haiti, I watched in 2014, play Spain, Xavi Iniesta, David Villa, and they played great football. I was actually with Andres Canto there watching the match. Haiti put on a show. The U.S. in 90 were incoming good players and good college players, but there was only a few that were playing in Europe. And now, like, if you look at the last few World Cups, you look at Champions League and you say, there's 8 American players that are playing in Champions League. Granted, there's only 3 of them that are playing regular football right now. And that's Christian Pulisic and Tyler Adams and then Jedi Robinson and Richards, right? They're playing a little bit more. But it's so much more depth in the levels that they're playing at. But that generation went on to do really well in 94. They beat Colombia. So that was the base for Gansler, and I'm not defending, you know, him as a coach. I thought Borra was a phenomenal coach. I thought that he was smart enough to take these players and say, we're going to stay together. I was offered to stay in Mission Viejo with the group, but they were only paying the players a small amount, and they were getting a cap every week. I had a multi-million-dollar offer in Europe, in Denmark, and I chose to go to Europe. But those players went on to, you know, like Cap Ramos could play anywhere. We played in Switzerland before the World Cup, and he was the best player, bar none, on the field. I mean, he played phenomenal. So it's playing week to week. There were times that the team played great. Hugo Perez played against Brazil, and I played in that match. We started together, and he was one of the best players on the field. Like, he should have been wearing the yellow shirt, so to speak. But in any case, it's hard to go back to 1990 because it was really like you got Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and it was like Rocky 1 when it was really rough.
Right. And I was actually at the game when Ramos had his skull crushed in 94 on the...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was a while ago. All right.
Leonardo, right? Leonardo.
Yeah. Yeah, an elbow.
Yeah, that was...
Well, just one more question.
That's Stanford, but I was just going to say real quickly, just, you know, we're going to have games here at Levi, and I think one thing that I will say, having been, you know, in Qatar in the last one and the last other 4 or 5 World Cups, this is going to be the biggest World Cup. I don't want, you know, and the quality, any team that's there is going to be fun to watch because the uniqueness now, when you look at even the stories are Haiti qualified, Cape Verde in Africa, Congo was able to knock out a heavyweight in Nigeria. Nigeria really wasn't at it. And then you have the North African teams like Morocco who finished in the last 4, you know, who surprised the world. Do you remember in the opening in Qatar, you had Herve Renault, the French madman coach, the most elegant coach on the sideline. He had Saudi Arabia that upset Argentina out of the gates, and Argentina went on to win. So there's going to be a lot of these situations, and I love to look at the managers and the coaches and see how they're in the past. When you were following it back then and when I was playing, you had 3.5 weeks together. You no longer have that. So the job of Mauricio Pochettino, and you follow world football all over, he was the coach of Paris Saint-Germain with Messi, Neymar, and Kylian Mbappe. and he struggled with him. Now he's finally starting to get his hands, I think, rolling up the sleeves because it's desperate times for the U.S. national team. So it looks like they're starting to turn the corner. There definitely is quality, but it's important to have the chemistry for that quality to come through. So hopefully they'll have a good group and they'll get through the group phase.
Well, I'm a lifelong Tottenham fan, so I love Mauricio, and I'm so glad he's there.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, I have faith in him. Just one more question. When we were kids,
yeah,
it was kind of accepted that Kyle Rowe Jr. was our best player, and mm-hmm. he got five caps. And I remember him saying, when he got capped once, he was like, wow. And they said, yeah, by the way, we're going to play Mexico in Los Angeles. And he was like, well, that'll be a home game for them. And he goes, yeah, but we're trying to sell tickets. And he's like, all right, well, where are we staying? And they said, buy your own plane ticket and show up. And that's why he's like, I'm not playing anymore. I mean, I can't believe you talk about missing out on 40 years of World Cups. That makes me crazy to hear that story.
Yeah, no, you're really going back. And I was a young kid when I was watching George Best and one of my early idols, Julie V, who's Hungarian, and who would have thought that I went on to play in the Hungarian First Division, and we became friends later. When I was a young kid, he was flying when he signed with San Jose. Steve Zungo, Blanco Sugota.
Zungu. Loved him.
Yeah, I mean, you think of all, and there was, you know, Ricky Davis. When I got my first, we flew, and we were in El Salvador together, and I was a young kid in college, and Ricky Davis was, you know, we're on the field together, and we're training together and playing together. And he was a big name because he was an American player like Kyle Rowe that was playing with Pelé. So that's so long ago when I think about that trajectory and how much it changed now that, you know, the Bosman ruling in Europe where they started bringing players into other teams and now Americans are being shopped around. And it's starting, the quality is getting much better. But this is such a talented country. And anywhere you go, I mean, they're selling more shirts of their favorite players, Lamine Yamal from Spain. I think the next time we talk, we can talk about who, you know, if you'd like, we can talk about, you know, I'll just say very quickly, I think the European teams will hopefully adapt through the tournament to the weather and the heat. That's always a question in the travel. The South Americans in the FIFA Club World Cup, I think that they showed that they came out of the gates, the Argentine, Paraguay, Brazilian in particular did extremely well during the summer months. So African teams, I think the Asian teams will do well. You know, you have Japan, South Korea. I think Morocco will do well. Again, you have Senegal, Algeria. Algeria can play. And then you have the European teams. And you know, one thing I'll say with France, I know you're going to ask me, when is Zidane going to take over from Deschamps? But you could go to any... on paper, you can go to any corner in Paris and you can get five national teams that can compete with anyone in the world in France. So France is the deepest. I think Portugal is going to be, we don't want to say a dark horse, but is it their time? I'll ask you. I mean, Portugal looks, they have Roberto Martinez. I don't know if you think that he could steer them to winning the whole thing, but Portugal has a great generation of players.
And don't forget, they said to Ronaldo, you know how you're going to miss those first two games? You don't. We'll do that a year later.
Yeah.
So, by the way, we're out of time, but I'll just throw this in. Sometimes I forget how old I am, and it makes me sick that you and I are 3 years older than Didier Deschamps, and he looks like our dad.
I know. Yeah, he does. Well, that's what radio and television and media life does for you. You don't go home bald, you know, 24 hours a day. You're going to go home and sip that vino.
All right. Well, everybody, make sure to check out Christopher Sullivan on Fox KTVU Channel 2 after the draw tomorrow. This is going to be a huge thing, and it's going to be new to a lot of people out there. You can tell Chris and I, we've been talking about this our whole lives, but everyone who's new to this, you're welcome. It's the most fascinating thing, the greatest competition in the history of the world. Christopher, thanks for coming on, man. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure, my friend.